We got Pastor Fires is going to give an intro. He's from Hurricane Alley. Okay, six hurricanes, right? One after the other, remember? Job got hit, wasn't it? One after the other. When is this going to stop? Okay. Also, Pastor Gary's offering. Huh? That was Holy Spirit speaking. Really, Holy Spirit speaking. Wow. I just love to recognize what God is saying and what he's doing in our hearts. We have the brothers here down front row. Here are the brothers. The mighty men right down here. Give them a hand. Huh? Yeah. Okay. So I'm having a good time right now, right up here. Wow. All right. So welcome, Pastor Fires from Miami, Florida.
Don't worry about that. I do that in Miami. Before I start, I unload all my stuff in my pockets. It's like all over the pulpit. Thank you for praying for Miami. We know we are covered because of your prayers. And I don't say that lightly. It's so important to us in the body, and what God's doing is beyond what we can tell you or what we can even show you with pictures or whatever. It's lives being changed one at a time, and it's so wonderful. The camera that's in the back, can everybody turn around and say happy birthday to my wife? Happy birthday, Cindy. We love you. So she'll see it or listen to it tomorrow, and then I'll be in trouble Monday. Turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. And that was really good, Pastor Stan, sitting over on that side when you know Pastor Schaller was going to come in on this side. Wisdom. Heavenly Father, we thank you. What a privilege it is to gather in the house of the Lord, knowing that God is faithful, and through that faithfulness, he is trustworthy. And he verifies his word because he is faithful. We love you this evening, Lord, and thank you. Bless this portion in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about prayer for Miami, or even whatever way you pray, and whoever, all the prayer requests that you have on your heart, and you know, think about that. Think of all the prayers that you send to God, all of them, every one of them. Some of you are, you know, praying maybe for finances or for jobs or for health, or wives are praying to change my husband, and you know, all that stuff, you know. But all the prayers that go up, all of them unto God. And there's many aspects of this way of praying. You know, praise is prayer, meditation is prayer, intercession, meditation, thanksgiving, all prayer. And then there comes to the time where, like we talked at our lunch wrap, is the time where we then wait and God speaks back. And sometimes that becomes difficult, and sometimes we run into hindrances because it's soul surrender. It's concentration. It's being still before God. And it's waiting. And we look at the watch. Because we have schedules. We're busy. Waiting is the problem. Waiting's the difficulty. Silent surrender. Having our capacity expanded. And I learned that it becomes an art. My mind wanders during this time because we want that quick answer, we want that fast answer, and we want that answer that appeases me. Well, this is why I'm praying. Of course, this is what I want. And we approach it that way. But the wandering part and the settling of the mind sometimes becomes a challenge as we wait upon God. My mind drifts to, boy, did I give the dog a bath this week? I've never bathed her in my life, you know, but these are the things that start to pop in my mind, you know. But in Habakkuk, it's amazing, as a minor prophet, most of the prophets, God spoke to the prophet spoke to the people. In Habakkuk, it's opposite. He went to God in representing the people. And he had a struggle with that, and he had a hard time with that because he couldn't get through with that. And he was wondering why God wasn't answering and why God wasn't dealing it, or why God's not changing my situation. Because this is the way it should go. I'm going to you, God. This is on my heart. And he cried out and he poured all of this out, the Bible tells us, in chapter 1. And he couldn't get around that. He couldn't get around that. And in starting in chapter 2, it says, after he pours everything out and he waits for God, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch. Part of waiting is watching. And waiting and watching is never inactivity. This is warfare. This was a cry of welfare during warfare. It's the welfare of the people. Do you hear the pains, the cries of your people, God? And I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He's going to wait and watch. And it's not like a running time clock, but sometimes that's how we feel that how God should answer. And sometimes the answer comes and we don't know it because it's not what we're looking for. I want another approach, so I continue to wait. And God said, it's already been sent. And I love this answer when God finally answers them. In verse 3, he says, I'm going to answer you. I'm going to give you a vision. And I want you to write down the vision. Write it down in the tablets. Write it down in stone. Put your vision down. And that's excellent. I like that. I'm going to start writing my visions. And you know, we need a vision. The people of God need a vision. And the vision has to be revisited and re-explained and retaught. Because we so easily forget the vision. Because it's nothing that we can hold or touch or grab onto. And God says, write it down. Know it. And it says, but at the end of the time, it shall speak and it'll not lie. Though it tarry, he says, wait for it. I'm going to give you it. You're going to write it down, and then you're going to have to wait for it. It's going to come. You're going to wait. The people will benefit. The people will hear it. Just keep waiting for it. Just keep tarrying. Keep waiting. And it will come. And the vision was found in verse 4 where he says, "Behold, my soul, which is lifted up." Because when God speaks and God gives you your answer, it seems like your soul just lifts up out of depression, out of worry, out of being faint, out of being wounded. Your soul starts to get healthy because it's hearing God. And your soul will be upright in Him. And that vision will be, "The just shall live by his faith." What was the prayer? What were we asking for? What was the answer? Just keep living by faith. Live by every word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're here for the first time, keep coming, keep hearing. And I use that all the time in Miami. Keep coming, keep hearing. If you're here for the first time, come 7 times. God will speak to you. Mix what you hear with faith. Bible says in Hebrews 4:2, it says, "They didn't profit them because they failed to mix what they heard with faith." Simple prayer life. The answer was faith. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
That was good. That's great. Thank you, Pastor. Would you stand for a moment and just praise God in your heart? And you can talk to your neighbor for a minute if you want. What did Pastor just say? Pastor Fires, it was so good. Okay, praise God. Amen. Lift up your hands if you want to. And then lift up your hands if you don't want to, but lift them up. By faith. How about living by faith? Huh? Hey, how about this little lesson? I don't want to. I'm in a mood. So what do? You get out of your mood by faith. How about that? Isn't that good? Wow, that's simple. Okay, this is a 10, 15, 12 minute message. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. What? Ready? Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow, that was a good one, Pastor Fires. Wasn't that good? How about prayer? Let's hit a few of the points. He talked about prayer, waiting on God. What else? The vision written. We need to be rehearse it. Now, there is a vision by faith, right? What else? What?
Give the dog a bath. Distraction.
Oh, yeah. You're praying or you're waiting on God, and then you start thinking, "Did I give the dog a bath this past week?" And they say, whoa, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. Okay. All right. Waiting on God. All right. Here we go. You may be seated. The turkey team, right? Have you heard about that? That the visas, they're not giving out visas just now. Turkey, because the Americans, and there's some, thing going on. So the plan, is Pastor Matt LaFlame here tonight and Morgan? Are they here? How about Pastor Roger Sr., Pastor Roger Jr.? Is he here? Did they go to Turkey by rowboat? Okay, what do you do when your plans are not working out? You make adjustment and you pray. Is Dana Johnson here? Yeah, there she is. Okay. Can I say a little bit of what you said the other day? I mean, are you going to deny me publicly? Okay. I think it's so good. I don't want to. It's good. Okay. A single woman having the question, "Am I gonna get married?" or not? And asking God that question, and God answering her. And what did, this is in the class the other night, she shared this. And God said, it's none of your business. Whoa! Whoa! What? It's none of your, like, Lord, am I going to get married or not? I'm not the manager of the skating rink. I am God. It's none of your business. All right. If I go to the mission field, or if I stay, what do I need? I need a word. I need the Holy Spirit to teach me, guide me. What's the plan? You will teach me, guide me. I'll be a soul winner here. I'll be blessing in Federal Hill. I'll be a blessing in Baltimore City. What's God's plan for me? It may be such a blessing when my things, whatever they are, they're God's things, and the turkey team is godly and God's plan. I have no doubt about that, but I say it because it relates to the few things I want to say tonight. From 2 Kings chapter 2. Okay. Verse 1. Came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Relationships are the greatest thing going on in the world today. Relationships, love, connection with people. Imperfect people, but people. It's so much fun to live with imperfect people. It's so great to be spirit-filled and live with people. So Elijah was with Elijah, and he said, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. Pastor Satellite, is he here tonight? Pastor Satellite. Yeah, here he is. Okay. He gave a message in June here at the convention, and he said, never leave your church. Remember that, Pastor? He said, never leave your church. And I'll always remember that. That was such a good word. It really spoke to me because I was thinking about leaving. See, I need a word in season. Okay. So, verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that were Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. That's one category. That's one way. That's one response we have with regards to life. We may have knowledge and we may be correct about things, like in this text. Yes, I know he's going to take my master away from me. I do know that. But we're not talking about it. Isn't that amazing? We're not talking about it because I'm going somewhere. I'm like thinking about something bigger than just what is natural. Like, yeah, my master will be taken away. That's not the big deal. There's a bigger deal. There's something I got my eyes on. There's something that I'm looking at. Something that I see. And this is what how it goes. If you go to chapter 2, and he said, he's following him in verse 9. That, you know, do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you today? Yes, I know it. And that's said a few times here, but because we don't, you know, because of time and just the message, I want to stay get real simple and clear. It's verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So he is, you see, Pastor Fire said it too, like vision, you know, vision, what's my vision, you know, what's the Spirit doing, walking in the Spirit. I think when we gather, we know when we gather together in Jesus' name, there he is in our midst, and it feeds us. I get so many phone calls, emails, text messages from really around the world. How many of you know, remember Miles McKee? Yeah, okay, Irishman. He was living in Texas. He met Dr. Stevens. Well, he called. We were on the phone yesterday because he sent me an email. He lives in Spain, and he's writing books and ministering, and he just built us up a lot. He built us up a lot. And people are saying, finished work. Pastor Schiavelli just, did FaceTime with Eugene Davis, Pastor Davis, before service here. And Pastor Schiavelli said, in Tianjin, he said, it was amazing. It was amazing. Pastor Satellite said, usually after Pastor Schiavelli preaches a message, people are excited. But he said, in this case, in this particular message, everybody was weeping. Huh? Wow. That's the whole anointing, right? That's the Holy Spirit, you know. You know, do you know that your master will be taken away from you? Yes, I know, but... like I'm on the move in the Spirit of God, and we are doing this, and people are hearing about the finished work, and it changes our relationships with each other. Pastor Stan shared with me this sentence this afternoon about down in Latin America. I don't want to go into detail, but this one brother likes to go to listen to a legalistic message. But he doesn't like the people in the church. So he goes late and leaves early. He hears the legalistic message, but he doesn't like the people. But he said, in greater grace, I like the people, but I don't like the message. It's like, doing, like there's something. Like, how does that work? It's the message of grace, and it's not greater grace, it's the message of Christ, the finished work. Not legalism, but grace builds our relationships. And to be honest, we are different. And I mean, everyone is that is filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and learning God and his grace. We are. But we enjoy it. We enjoy the diversity. We love it that we're not cookie-cutter Christians. We love it that it's not legalism. We love it we're not judging each other. Okay, but what are we doing? You see, when you get with Elijah, you're starting to walk in the mystery. Like, do you know that? Do you know that? You know, this kind of a thing. It's like, yeah, I know. I probably know a lot about what you're talking about. But I'm not living there because I'm like hungry for twice the spirit of Elijah. Isn't that good? Hey, I'm hungry for this. This is in life. Like when God said to Dana, none of your business about your future, none of your business. I mean, if you understood and she received it lovingly from our Heavenly Father, okay, it's not like arrogance, but God is saying to us, you don't know it all, but follow me closely and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you twice. You know, this is what he said. And Elijah said, that's a hard thing to get twice what I have. Let's read the text. It says, and Elijah said, I pray thee, let me a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Verse 10, he said, you have asked a hard thing. Whew. When was the last time you and I asked a hard thing from, you know, like he got out of, you know, you asked like a hard, like, in other words, I am looking, God. I'm looking to God. I want God. I'm asking, I want to see the glory of God, right? I'm waiting on God. Now, a couple points about waiting on God. Pastor Fire said, waiting on God for us is hard. Waiting on God because I got 7 minutes. You know, could you deal with this thing? Okay. And the Lord just says, you know, like really, the sacredness of what it means to be before God. Isn't it beautiful? Waiting on God, like hearing from God. Yong Yi Cho, I read it on Grace Hour. I have it here. About his ministry. he said, I think it was 1958 when he had, I started ministry in 1958 in a suburban area of Seoul. It was a slum area. From the beginning, the Holy Spirit taught me that the foundation of the church was prayer. I tried to win souls for the Lord for more than 6 months. During that time, I preached. I couldn't lead one soul to Christ. In less than 1 year, I had packed up my suitcase more than 8 times to leave my ministry. I was sure at that time I had not been called to be a pastor. I had not even dreamed at that time that I would one day become the pastor of a very large church. Then my dream was to have a church of 30 people. And I began to pray 5 hours every day. I'll tell you, it's not an easy job to pray for 5 hours. I struggled and I fought against the flesh. Then great things started to happen. I was changed. Then my people changed. And the whole town began to change. In 3 years, I had led 600 people to Christ. We built a beautiful church in the slum area in 1961. Then we moved downtown Seoul. I had experienced a little success with 600. I wanted to build a church among the very big. People laughed at me. I was young and inexperienced, so I resorted to prayer. I was praying very, very much, and God began to move. My mother-in-law was especially inspiring to me. She would call me at 4:30 in the morning and say, what are you doing? And he said, I'm sleeping. She said, you're supposed to be up and praying. Especially the minister can never sleep beyond 4:30 a.m. Every morning, my mother-in-law would dip a towel in cold water and put it on my face. Many times I would get up and sit on the edge of my bed. Let's see. Yeah, it turns up. So, okay. The devil is not afraid of you coming to church. The devil would also be silent while you study the Bible, but the devil will resist you when you start praying. The devil can't stand your praying. When you pray, the devil will cause trouble. Like, did I give the dog a bath this past week? Okay. But when you pray more, the devil will leave you. You don't know how much the devil is causing trouble among yourselves, your families, children, businesses, churches, and things that are very important to your life. Many people say, well, this is the 21st century. We don't believe there is a devil. Well, even that is a scheme of Satan. Jesus spent much time casting out devils. When you cast out the devil, you will have a great movement of God in your church. And only through prayer, God will answer your life's problems. Okay, great stuff. And there's a little book that I'm getting this stuff from. Dr. Cho, you know, you've heard of him. With a million people in the church, the prayer mountain, and a beautiful story of prayer. But I would like to go to this and just say this tonight. Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Yeah, I know. I know. I'm going to follow him. Well, we should study and analyze this whole thing. There we go. My heart, when I'm with him, my heart is moving. My heart is strangely warmed. The heart, I find the Holy Spirit. I'm after God and the Holy Spirit's moving. I'm following him. Yeah, but don't you know that? And don't you know this and that? How about this one? Don't you know you can't get a visa to go to Turkey? Don't you know that this and that? Don't you know, what was the other one? There's some other thing. You could say many things like this. I know that. Don't you know that Donald Trump is president of the United States? Don't you know that Putin is, and don't you know that this is, and it's like, okay. Yeah. What are you doing with your life? What are you after? What do you want? What are you hungry for? And this is not in regards to our activities. This is in regards to something much deeper. This is in regards to a young person maybe sitting home, but they have a vision in their heart for God in some particular way, that they go for a walk and they're dreaming and thinking about what is the Spirit saying, what is the Spirit doing. Maybe they're thinking about this book, like I could learn the book and it will deliver me from much evil. Maybe they're thinking, I need some new friends. How would that happen? I will follow closely to God, and God will give me a friend like Jonathan. Maybe somebody is saying, boy, my life is some kind of a disaster. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist said. I'm in the wilderness, but that's okay. I am a voice. Let me repeat that. I am in the wilderness, and it's a wilderness, and it's okay, because God has given me a voice, and it's all that I got. I don't have much, but I got my heart, and I have a voice. This is a beautiful thing. So let's finish this. It says, it's a hard thing that you're asking. Verse 10, nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. It started to happen. Well, won't that be fun when the rapture happens? We're just walking and talking, and then whew, there it is. And the horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And he saw it and he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. I just want to say lastly, to all of us, and in my heart, I'm like more and more wanting to have the Lord help me and the Lord speak and
Lord, love us. And more and more, I want to hear what the Lord has to say to my heart. I want to stay away from sin because I know how destructive it is. When I'm proud, I want to learn like humility, like really, isn't that beautiful? Like I want to learn that. I want to learn, I'm saying it, the Holy Spirit can teach us things that the world will never teach us. Holy Spirit will teach you. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Discern the spirits. Listen to what the Spirit says to you and bring it home with you. And maybe you live with somebody who doesn't care, or maybe you live in a problematic or some problem. But carry with you. Carry it with you and bring it home and know that God can change things. God hears many of our prayers. God will answer us. And he's very close to us. And you know, in the story, after Elijah was gone, the prophets came and said, let's go try to find him. He may have landed on this hill or on that hill. And Elijah's got the inside scoop. Go, no, you're not going to find him. He's gone. No, we got to go. So Elijah, being kind wanting to be conciliatory, he went with them, and they looked for 3 days and couldn't find him on any hill, because he wasn't on any hill. He went up. And when you and I get to walk with God in these difficult days, they're not really so difficult, actually, but we often say that, and it is scriptural. So it is, though I hesitate to say it. But actually, in these days, who knows about tomorrow? But I can get serious about following Elijah. And I'll get the inside scoop. And I'll be far off from the mark. And that's for all of us. Amen.